Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 7, Text 30.
Chayatva dharmor mishu yar visargo net.
Yeah, but this, I'm on 30 and then this is 31.
Chayatva dharmor mishu yar visargo netra trayam sattva rajastamangsi sankhyatmana shastra kritastaveksha chandomayo deva rishi puranaha.
O Lord, your shadow is seen in irreligion, which brings about varieties of irreligious creations. The three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance are your three eyes. All the Vedic literatures, which are full of verses, are emanations from you, because their compilers wrote the various scriptures after receiving your glance. Text 31.
Na te giri tra akila lokapala virincha vaikuntha surendra gamyam jyoti param yatra rajas tamas cha satvam na yad brahma nirasta bedam. Na te giri tra kila lokapala virincha vaikuntha surendra gamyam jyoti param yatra rajastamascha satvam nayad brahma nirasta bedam na te giri tra kila lokapala virincha vaikuntha surendra gamyam jyoti param yatra rajastamascha satvam nayad brahma nirasta bedam. Na te giri tra kila lokapala virincha vaikuntha surendra gamyam jyoti param yatra rajastamascha satvam nayad brahma nirasta bhedam. Surendra gamyam jyoti param yatra rajastamascha na te giri tra kila lokapala virincha vaikuntha surendra gamyam jyoti param yatra rajastamascha satvam nayad brahma nirasta bhedam na te giri tra kila lokapala virincha vaikuntha surendra gamyam yatra rajastamascha Satvam Nayad Brahma Nirasta Bhedam.
Ladies.
Nate giri tra kila lokapala. Girincha Vaikuntha Surendra Gamyam. Te giri tra kila lokapala. Vaikuntha Surendra Ranjan. Na, not. Te, of your lordship. Giritra, O King of the Mountains. Okila Lokapala, all the directors of departments of material activities. Vidincha, Lord Brahma. Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu. Sura Indra, the King of Heaven. Gamyam, they can understand. Jyotihi, effulgence. Param, transcendental. Yatra, wherein. Rajaha, the mode of goodness. The mode of passion. Tamaha, and the mode of ignorance. Sattvam, the mode of goodness. Na, not. Yat Brahma, which is impersonal Brahma. Nirasta Bhedam, without distinction between demigods and human beings. Cell phone check, please. Mobile should be off. O Lord Girisha, since the impersonal Brahma effulgence is transcendental to the material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, the various directors of this material world certainly cannot appreciate it or even know where it is. It is not understandable even to Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, or the King of Heaven, Mahendra. Purport. The Brahmajyoti is actually the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Brahma Sangita, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti Koti Shvashesha Vasudhari Vibhuti Vinnam Tad Brahma Nishkalam Anantam Ashesha Bhutam Govindamari Purusham Tamahang Vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahma, which is absolute, complete, and unlimited, and which displays the varieties of countless planets with their different opulences in millions and millions of universes. Although the impersonal feature of the Absolute is an expansion of the rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not need to take care of the impersonalists who enter the Brahmajyoti. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagadabhyakta murtina. In my impersonal feature, I pervade this entire universe. Thus, the avyakta murti, the impersonal feature, is certainly an expansion of Krishna's energy. Mayavadis, who prefer to merge into this Brahman effulgence, worship Lord Shiva. The mantras referred to in text 29 are called Mukhani Panchopanishadas Tavesha. Mayavadis take all these mantras seriously in worshipping Lord Shiva. These mantras are as follows. 1. Tat Purushaya Vidmahe Shantyai. 2. Mahadevaya Dhimahi Vidyayai.
3. Tanna Rudra Pratishtayai. 4. Prachodayat Trityai. 5. Aghorebhyas Tama. And there's 38 of them. I don't think I'm going to read them all. You can consult them on your own. The impersonal Brahma is unknown even to the other directors of the material creation, including Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, and even Lord Vishnu. This does not mean, however, that Lord Vishnu is not omniscient. Lord Vishnu is omniscient, but he does not need to understand what is going on in his all-pervading expansion. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, although everything is an expansion of him, maya tatamidam sarvam, he does not need to take care of everything, nachaham teshvabhastitaha. Since there are various directors like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Indra. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitamstam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodhi Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nate giri tra akila loka pala virincha vaikuntha surendra gamyam jyoti parang yatra rajastamascha satvam nayad brahma nirasta bhedam. Here Lord Shiva is glorified as the origin of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence. In all of these verses in the last so many days, the prayers offered have been offered to Lord Shiva rather than the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. And this is a little perplexing or unusual. We ask ourselves why this is. The subject matter is discussed by Srila Sanatan Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and we'll check it out. Krishna, Krishna. He says, Krishnach chivasya pedeksha mahadosha kuri mata avo bhagavata swasmin kshamyate na shibe kritam. To consider Lord Shiva different from Krishna is a serious spiritual deviation. The personality of Godhead tolerates offenses against himself, but not against Lord Shiva. So there's a oneness between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. So to consider them different is a deviation. But then it said in the next line that the Lord tolerates offenses to himself, but not to Lord Shiva. That means there must be some difference also. Just like the Christians always like to tell us that I and the Father are one. That means that Jesus is absolutely identical with God. But then elsewhere, when you go to the kingdom of God, you'll see that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. So does that mean he's sitting on the right hand of himself? So they face a similar problem. Although they're monotheists, they have a Godhead who appears to be multiple, or at least dual. There's the Lord, and then there's the Son of God, who's identical with God, and yet he's sitting on the right-hand side of God. So there's oneness and difference. Here also with Lord Shiva, there's oneness. If you consider Shiva different from Krishna, you're a serious spiritual deviant. On the other hand, there's difference, because the Lord Vishnu tolerates offenses to himself, but not to Lord Shiva. In the commentary we find, Lord Shiva is described as a recipient of Lord Vishnu's mercy. But this does not mean that the two lords are different from one another in the same way that Lord Vishnu differs from the Jivas. Of course, Lord Vishnu is also not different from the Jivas. Jivanam sarvabhuteshu. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, I'm the Jivas. In all the hamatma gudakesha, I'm the Atma within the heart of everyone. I'm the living force within everyone. So the Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. Everything is his energy, but Shakti Shakti Matior Aveda. There's no difference between the energy and the energetic. Therefore, Sarvakalavidam Brahma, the whole whatever we see is nothing but the same one absolute truth. But there are differences. So the living entities are very different from Krishna because they're marginal energy. They're one with Krishna. Jiva Tatasta Shakti Bhed Abhed Prakash. They're one with the Lord, but they're different from the Lord. Lord Vishnu is unlimited, infinite, and the living beings are infinitesimal. Then when we come to Lord Shiva, he's different from Lord Vishnu also, but not very different. Only slightly different. The matter is resolved in the Brahma Sangita, kshiram yata dativikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahitatag pratagasti heto Yasambutam apitata samupayati karjat. Govindamadi purusham tamahang bhajami. What's yogurt? It's nothing but milk. If somebody says this isn't milk, no, it is milk. It came from a cow, right? You milked the cow and you got yogurt. But there was a step in between, because yogurt is not exactly milk. You can turn yogurt into milk, you can't turn milk into yogurt, but you can't turn yogurt back into milk. They're one, but they're different. So Lord Shiva is identical with Lord Vishnu, but he has some connection with the material energy. He's married to the material energy. His wife, Durga, is the goddess of the material energy. So there's some connection there, which Lord Vishnu never has. He never is in touch with the material energy at all. So Lord Shiva is almost on the platform of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, but not quite. But here the identity of the two is emphasized. So if anyone thinks that Lord Shiva is different from Lord Vishnu, he's an offender. The Padma Purana includes the Nama Aparad Bhajan Stotra, a list of 10 offenses against chanting Lord Vishnu's names, the familiar 10 offenses. Therein it is said, Shivasya Sri Vishnurya Iha Guna Namadi Sakalam Dhya Bin Nam Pashet Sakalu Hari Namahita Karaha. One who sees differences between any of Lord Shiva's qualities and names and those of Sri Vishnu is an antagonist to Harinam. Well, that's not what we're used to hearing, is it? Usually we hear that the offense is to think that the names of Lord Shiva and the demigods are independent of the name of Lord Vishnu, or equal to the name of Lord Vishnu. But here we hear that if you see a difference between Lord Shiva's names and qualities and those of Lord Vishnu, then you're an aparadi. The issue seems to hang on this word bhinna, dhya bhinna, anyone who sees pashet, who sees bhinna, he's an offender. Bhinna means separateness. Bhinna means separate, separation, separateness. So in the translation we're familiar with, it's an offense to think that the name of Lord Vishnu, of Lord Shiva, is something separately, independently, as good as the name of Lord Vishnu. And here, in the context of Sanatana Goswami's commentary, if you think that Lord Shiva's name is different from Lord Vishnu's name, that's an offense. So the conclusion is the same, that Lord Shiva is as good as the personality of Godhead, almost. He's one with Lord Vishnu, and therefore all these prayers are offered to Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is as good as Lord Vishnu. But again, not quite. Prabhupada gives the example in regard to the spiritual master of the viceroy to whom all honor and presentations were given during the British rule in India. So honoring if you offended the viceroy, you offended the king. And if you honored the viceroy, you honored the king, or the queen, king back then. But still the viceroy isn't the king. There's oneness and there's difference. Just like now, even if an ambassador to some foreign country, American ambassador, were kidnapped, America would go to war, because that's immediately an offense against the whole country. Our ambassador is, that's America you just attacked. The ambassador is not America, but still he is America. He's America will go to war over any offense to our ambassador. So Lord Shiva is as good as the personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is especially empowered to distribute in the material world the elevated tastes of pure devotional service. So Lord Shiva is very dear to the personality of Godhead. There's an intimate relationship between the Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, and Lord Shiva, his expansion for creation of this material world, for creation and destruction also. When Lord Vishnu creates, of course, Brahma engineers the construction, but it's Lord Shiva who carries the seed of the living beings into the material world. And then again, when there's a need to destroy everything, Lord Shiva is deputed where Lord Shiva takes on that function also. So these are all functions of the personality of Godhead. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says that. What is that? That when you are, when it's by your order that Lord Brahma is creating, by your order that Lord Shiva is destroying, by your direction that everything is going on. So everything is going on by the direction of the personality of Godhead, Govinda Madhi Purusham, Tamahang Bhajami. But that personality of Godhead appears in different manifestations. The material, Sarvakalavidam, even the material world is not different from Vishnu. The material world is also Krishna's energy, therefore it's not different from Krishna. One time, Hayagriva Prabhu had sort of moved a clock with his foot. The clock was sitting there, and Prabhupada said, you shouldn't move it with your foot. Do you mean to say this clock is holier than my foot? Yes. The clock is also Krishna's energy. It's also Krishna's property. Therefore, we don't move things with our feet like that. Because it's Krishna's energy. So many things are seen that way, that it's Krishna's. Prabhupada was teaching us to see everything. The materialists see everything is mine. Everything is mine, potentially mine, or it's ours, and that means it's mine. But the devotee sees that everything is Krishna's. Everything is Krishna's, and everything is Krishna himself. Sarvakalavinam Brahma. But Krishna himself means it's Krishna's energy. Just as the sunshine is also the sun. There's no difference. And yet we distinguish between the sunshine and the sun planet. The sunshine is in your room, you're very happy. If the sun planet were in your room, you'd be dead. There's a difference. So here also the Brahmajyoti is referenced. What's the Brahmajyoti? The Brahmajyoti is the absolute truth. It's the ultimate. It's the supreme. But it's the supreme in a less fully manifest feature. It's the supreme, but without the manifestation of his transcendental qualities. The Brahmajyoti is also not different from Krishna. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shatyate. But the Brahmajyoti is the aim of the neophytes, the impersonalists. The Paramatma is the aim of the intermediate transcendentalists. And the personality of Godhead is the goal for the devotees. It's the same absolute truth. Advayam. What is that? Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajganam advayam. It's the same undifferentiated substance. But it's seen as Brahma, as Paramatma, as Bhagavan. And Bhagavan is the ultimate feature, and that Bhagavan is ultimately Krishna. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. I'll stop here and see what kind of questions there might be. Mm-hmm. Subhas Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. Prabhupada says the impersonal Brahman is unknown even to the other directors of the material creation, including Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, and even Lord Vishnu. This does not mean, however, that Lord Vishnu is not omniscient. Lord Vishnu is omniscient, but he does not need to understand what is going on in his all-pervading expansion. Hmm. I thought, maybe I misunderstand what the word omniscient means. I thought that meant that Vishnu, he doesn't really have to make an effort to know anything, that it's more or less automatic.
Svabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. His energies are automatically working, so he doesn't have to do anything. So he has a jnana shakti. He knows everything. And yet, here it seems that there's something that he doesn't bother to know.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's said that although he's omniscient, he doesn't know the full extent of himself. So he has his pleasure energy. He tries to understand it with his knowledge energy, but by expanding his knowledge energy, he tries to understand his pleasure energy, but then the pleasure energy expands. So then now it's beyond his understanding. So now the Jnana Shakti, knowledge energy, has to catch up. But then once that net energy expands, pleasure energy expands again. So therefore, it's said that even the personality of Godhead doesn't fully understand the extent of his own energies. From one point of view, the Brahmajyoti is Krishna. Krishna understands everything, but he's unlimited. So to understand himself, that's a big job. To understand everything is possible, but ultimately to understand himself, that's a big job. Because he's unlimited. Of course, he has unlimited capability to understand himself, but his self has the capability to expand unlimitedly. So it seems that there's this dynamic competition even within the personality of Godhead.
So what about the Paramatma, the super soul, who's with the living entity? Now, does that mean that the Paramatma then just is focused on that living entity? Like Paramatma in my body, my soul? Does Paramatma just see my activities, or is he aware of your activities also at the same time?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Is my Paramatma aware of my body while your Paramatma? You can say yes, because that's why he's there. He's Upadrishtanu Mantacha. He's overseeing and permitting for you. He's in your heart doing that work. He's in my heart doing that work. So you could say your Paramatma knows about you, my Paramatma knows about me. On the other hand, there's only one Paramatma.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
There's only one Paramatma, but he's just as there's only one sun, but it's seen in so many different water pots. So there's one Paramatma, but he's seen in all the different living beings. So the differences are seen from our angle of vision. But exactly how the Paramatma is existing, what is that? Sarvato panipadam tat sarvato kshishuro mukham sarvata shutima loke sarvamavrityatishtati. His ears are everywhere, his eyes are everywhere, his faces are everywhere. Panipadam tat, his arms and legs are everywhere. He's one person, but therefore we're not going to figure him out. I thought he was in your heart. I thought you had your Paramatma and I had my Paramatma. I had it all worked out. Then I find out that there's really one Paramatma, but he appears to be many Paramatmas. It's like Brahma, he got bewildered trying to figure it out. But wait a second. I put the boys over there. Then I come back and they're over here. Then I go back up there, but they're still over there. I come back, now what's going on? He couldn't figure it out because Krishna's mystic power eclipsed Brahma's mystic power. Brahma's tremendous mystic power, but he became like a firefly during the day or snow at night, no appreciable glitter. So we try to figure out the personality of Godhead in so many different ways. We try to figure out his material creation. Well, let's see, if I do this and I do that, then I'll get this, and then I'll be able to do that, and then I'll enjoy this, and then I'll take control of that, and then I'll do this. And we've got it all figured out, except Maya comes and swats us every time. So we try to figure out the material energy, and we think we've got it figured out, or we think we can figure it out, or at least figure out part of it. But we can't figure out anything, actually. We can't figure out how bewildered we are. So there's the material energy. We try to figure that out. Then try to figure out the Brahmajyoti. You can't figure it out. That's described here. It has no form, no qualities. It's everywhere. It's beyond description. It's beyond knowing. We can't figure that out. Then we try to figure out the Paramatma. Can't figure him out either. And what to speak of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, he's described as achintya, inconceivable, beyond the power of thought. Achintya kalu ye bhava, that tark, what is that? Tar comes na yojiye? Ye bhava. Nainam tarkena yojiye, like that. We can never figure out the inconceivable by our logical methods, because the inconceivable can't be conceived. And that's the personality of Godhead. Every fifth Bhagavatam, the question comes up, if we were in the spiritual world with Vishnu, how did we fall down? You're not going to figure it out. There's so many things we can't figure out. Mm-hmm. Yes? Microphone.
Thank you, Maharaj, for an elucidating class. I find it interesting here that when it's talking about how the different personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, or Indra can understand the Brahma Jyoti, it doesn't specifically mention Lord Shiva. That could imply that perhaps Lord Shiva does understand the Brahma Jyoti, because it does mention also that he's prayed to by the impersonalists who are trying to merge into the impersonal Brahman. So obviously there must be some kind of a intimate connection between him and the Brahma Jyoti. So anyway, I just wonder if you'd like to comment on that at all.
We're sort of logically deducing that Lord Shiva must know about the impersonal absolute, because otherwise he'd be mentioned in the list of those who don't. I don't know that that's a justified conclusion.
Oh, I want to mention one other thing. Excuse me.
Got another piece of logic in there?
Yeah. I find it interesting also that in the context of these verses, these are the Prajapatis praying to Lord Shiva. And they want to get something from him in that also. So I just wanted to mention.
Yeah, from that point of view, you could take that interpretation that whether or not Lord Shiva does know, the Prajapatis are implying that he does. The Prajapatis, they want him to do something about the poison. So they're glorifying him. You're great, you're great, you're super great, you're ultra great. So they may be implying, well, even Vishnu doesn't know about the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Even Mahendra doesn't know about the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. You must know about the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. You might arrive at that conclusion, which would be easier to accept than the idea that he actually does know it. Because it's unknowable. It's unknowable. It has no form, no qualities, no nothing. There's no difference in the Brahma Jyoti between anything and anything else. Of course, Lord Shiva must be a Brahma Jyoti expert. The impersonalists are always praying to Lord Shiva, and he may grant them impersonal liberation. But still, the Brahma Jyoti is the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, and the personality of Godhead is beyond completely knowing.
Thank you, Maharaj.
It's hard, especially hard to know the Brahma Jyoti, because when you get to the Brahma Jyoti, there's no difference between knower and known. To actually enter the Brahma Jyoti, you have to give up the distinction between subject and object, between seer and seen. And then you can't give a report. Right? That's the problem with the Brahma Jyoti. It's unconstitutional. We're not meant to be merged in that way with no individual capability. It's our nature to be individuals. But to enter into Brahma Jyoti land, you have to sacrifice or toss out your individuality because there can't be an individual presence in the Brahma Jyoti. There can't be an individual presence. So therefore, you have to give up your identity as a knower. And you have to merge it with the known. Well, once you do that, you can't know anything. There's no distinction in the Brahma Jyoti between knowledge and the object of knowledge and the knower. That's the nature of the Brahma Jyoti. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Maharaj. In the Padma Purana, I think you mentioned this, there's a verse that says, a person who considers demigods like Brahma and Shiva to be an equal level with Narayan is to be considered an offender and an atheist.
Hmm. And Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudrani
Devata. Yeah. So it is said also, I mean to say that I recall that when we do the parikram, there's a deity that devotees go and see half
Lord Shiva, half Parihara. Lord Krishna. Hmm.
Yeah. So it appears that it's, you know, in the equal level, as far as we see it. And I just wondered if you want to comment a little bit on that.
Yeah, we have oneness, and we have difference. That distinguishes us from the Mayavadis, who only have oneness. Everything is one. That's their theme song. It's all one, it's all one, it's all one, it's all one. So we accept also that everything is one. But we also acknowledge that there are differences. Hmm? Otherwise, if everything's one, why are you disagreeing with me? So there's oneness and there's difference. And Prabhupada usually hammers on the difference, because the oneness has been so overpushed. On this demigod business, you go to India and everybody thinks that the demigods, and you know, it's like, take your choice. You're Ishta Devata, the demigod of your choice, whoever you like. Because there's no difference between Shiva or Brahma or Vishnu or the sun god or Ganesh or Durga. They're all the same, because they're all manifestations of the higher reality, because everything's one. So they're always pushing on that agenda, because they're like Abhimanyu, who learned how to get into the Chakravyuha and never learned how to get out. They learned how to get into oneness, but they never learned how to get out of oneness. They never learned the other side. We have oneness and duality, or oneness and difference. They only have oneness, at least theoretically. Practically, they're always in duality, but theoretically, their goal is oneness. But Prabhupada gives the full picture. There's oneness, there's difference. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives that picture. And Prabhupada's always hammering on the difference, or almost always, because the oneness has been so overemphasized. Sometimes you'll find in different passages, he'll talk about the oneness and he'll stress on that. There's a section in Bhagavad Gita where he's speaking about the oneness of everything. I could find it, but anyway. He's really pushing on how everything is one. But that's only like for a page or two. Then the other, you know, 982 pages are about how everything's not one. But that's the full understanding. There's oneness, there's difference. So if someone thinks that Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva are absolutely one in every respect, then he's an atheist. Pashyanti Bhavedrulam. On the other hand, if he thinks that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are different, he's an offender. How's that? You can't separate Lord Shiva from Lord Vishnu. It's like you can't separate the soldier from his sword. You can't separate the king from his queen. You can't separate the king from his prime minister. You can't separate the king from his throne. They're all one truth. But the throne is different from the king, the queen is different from the king, the prime minister is different from the king. But if you touch one hair on the head of the queen, the king will kill you. You know, you can offend him, but you can't offend the queen. Because of the intimate relationship. So what is it? In the marriage ceremony, at least in the Christian church, what is it? Now you're one flesh? I think they say that. There's like some sort of language that you're one. So they're one. But they're not. They're also different. As they quickly find out once they're married. So both things are true. They're one. Their husband and wife are one. The wife is the better half. So it's one. But they're different. It's not that when the husband has lunch, the wife's belly is full. They're two, but they're one. So Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are two. But there's such an intimate relationship. And not just the way we make relationships by shaking hands, but he's practically not different from Lord Vishnu. Just a slight difference. Lord Vishnu has these different manifestations. He has Vishnu tattva manifestations that are absolutely 100% non-different. Well, even they're different because one's a tortoise and one's a fish and one's a half lion, half man. So they're different in that respect. But they're all in the same Vishnu tattva category. Then you get to Lord Shiva. He's also practically Lord Vishnu. Only a few qualities missing, only this little touch with the material energy that changes him. But that puts him in his own category. It's not the Vishnu tattva. It's one step down. And then you get to the Jiva tattva. He's also not different from Vishnu because he's also Vishnu's energy. But he's quite a few steps down. So there's just Eka Brahma Dutiya Nasti, Sarva Kalavidam Brahma. There's nothing but the Absolute Truth. But the Absolute Truth has Vividayavashriyate, Parashya Shakti Vividayavashriyate. He has different energies and different manifestations. Lord Shiva is not the energy of the Lord. He's the Lord. He's not the energy. He's the Lord himself, but slightly changed. The Lord himself, Lord Vishnu, never changes. Lord Shiva, he's little changed because of his contact with the material energy. But still, he's practically Vishnu. Almost. And he's intimately related also because of his service to Lord Vishnu. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. He's the greatest Vaishnava. Is that okay?
Maharaj, just one last thing. Mm. This is not in your class, but we heard yesterday the concert of Saktiaveshavatar, Lord Shiva. Mm. Is it Saktiaveshavatar? We heard many times Gunavatar.
Lord Shiva's Gunavatar, one of the manifestations of, or one of the controllers of the Gunas. You can also say Shakti Avesh,
okay,
in the sense that he's represents the power of the personality of Godhead. Usually we don't hear Lord Shiva described as Shakti Avesh, but it's not terrible.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.